Hey everybody, welcome back to Bull Droppins. And as much as my co-host is handsome, I didn't think I'd actually see him until the playoffs were over. Why? It's simply because why did it take a couple of days for the decision of David Culley being fired? Now, as I've said before, I think it's very bad for an organization to fire two head coaches in 2 years. Now, granted, Coach Bob had it coming and it was time, but I will say this, to a point, I just thought it is what it is. But it's kind of, as Tex over here said, it's the gif where you see Grandpa Simpson walk in, put his hat down, do a little circle, take his hat, walk back out, and his grandson barely even blinks. He blinks once or twice and goes, okay, that just happened. So essentially, we are back for this emergency meeting to say that two people have officially have left the Texans organization, being head coach David Culley and the offensive coordinator Tim Kelly. So with them getting booted out and saying later, dude, their question is this. Tex, what is going through your head?
You know, I don't know that I got into it explicitly with this week's normal episode, but I really thought Culley was going to be back for another year. I said that, you know, I thought the team played hard for him. But since Flores was available, if there were a way to get him into Houston, I would be fine moving on. But otherwise, I just thought, what was the point of firing another coach? And of course, now you got to ask yourself, why would Brian Flores want to come here? Obviously, we could talk about the Nick Caserio connection because they worked together for years on the Patriots staff. And then we have the whole Watson thing. If Flores could be the guy to mend the fences with Watson. However, there's more layers to that because you don't know if the fans have simply turned on Watson and they don't ever want to see him play for the Texans again. Of course, how much does Watson want to play for this team? How much would Flores change his mind? It's all a little bit unknown right now, but I have no doubt about Brian Flores' abilities as an organizer and a leader of men. Now, the only downside I saw to his tenure with the Dolphins was the whole 2020 when he was flip-flopping between Fitzmagic and Tua. I just thought it was really ill-advised. Of course, I am not sure how much of that change was Flores' decision, how much of it was the front office's decision, because obviously their front office wanted Tua very much. You draft a guy that high, you want to get him in there, but it was just confusing to me. You were 4-3, you'd won 4 out of 5 games, I believe. You had your bye, and then you make the quarterback switch. It's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It was just really confusing to me.
Well, I'll just say
The story out of Miami. Well, the story out of Miami was that Flores didn't agree with the front office on what assistants wanted to. He wanted to keep around and which ones wanted to go. So that's why the organization fired him. And in which, so it seems like Miami's just going to be back at square one and then just rinse and repeat this whole thing. But I digress on that point. Let a good coach go, and there is no doubt in my mind that Flores will be the most sought after option with this cycle. So yes. I think the Broncos and the Bears and the Vikings, and probably the Giants. I mean, you have a head coach opening. I'd call and at least interview the guy and see if he'd be interested in taking over our team. And now, you look at those other situations. If Flores can pick from any of them, why would the Texans be the most appetizing option? Well number one, if you have a potential franchise quarterback that you could just get like that, well, that's certainly an upgrade over, you know, Minnesota with an aging middle-of-the-road quarterback. Chicago has a rookie that showed promises here and there, but couldn't still stay healthy. Iffy. And Denver's quarterback situation, who knows what that's going to be.
Well, the problem is, I think Denver is the most appealing. Now, the worst thing about that is the division, just simply because the Raiders made the playoffs, the Chargers should have made the playoffs, and you have Mahomes there for a long time. But if you look at the young core of guys that they have there that have proven themselves worthy, you are literally, as soon as the general manager gets to pick his hire, which I think Brian Flores is all hands on deck, number one, for just my pick based on the players love him. I think he knows what he's doing. Yep. I think this is simply more closer than it was 2 years ago. But essentially, this is kind of similar to where Peyton Manning has left. And now you have all these pieces that could really get the job done for you. You're a quarterback shy of contending. It's simple. Right. It was like that when Peyton Manning left. It dwindled for about 2 years, and now you're back at it. Let's get it done. As far as every other job, I mean, I think it's win now mode for the Vikings, especially since you only got Kirk Cousins for one more year, but he's done well, and I think he'll get extended. But, I mean, the Bears, based on history, it's not appealing. The Giants, because they've been the most ridiculous laughingstock of an organization the last decade. Short to the Dolphins, because they've been absolute train wreck and inconsistent for the whole century. The whole 21st century, they've been an embarrassment. You could call it the Marino curse. I don't care what you call it. They've just been inconsistent. They don't have their crap together. And this is a show called Bull Droppings. Funny us saying they don't have their crap together. If I'm Brian Flores, right, is the Texans the most desirable job right now? The answer is no, and that's what I'm worried about. But if for some reason the general manager says Brian Flores is not our guy, essentially I think you have a coin flip. I mean, the Vikings is up there, but the Texans seems kind of realistic. And let's also not forget, Nick Caserio, I think, is going to pick his hire. But my biggest fear, especially since Cal seems to be going to the Patriot guys, something tells me that Josh McDaniels is on the radar a lot closer than we think. And that's just something I want to avoid. Because, listen, I get that he's a Patriot guy, but the problem is, right, Nick Caserio screwed over David Culley and Tim Kelly because, listen, did I say that the offseason was great in my opinion? Yes. Were the trades for peanuts? Yes. Do I think that Randall Cobb and Merciless, I hope they win a ring this year? Yes. But if you look at the inconsistency and what the tools they put on the table and how they drafted, I gave this team, as far as the NFL draft goes, a D because of value and who they let up on. Now, granted, right, if Tyrod Taylor was the best quarterback going forward, you could have picked up, let's say, Creed Humphrey, the number one center in all of the NFL this year, which I said they need an interior line. Everyone goes, oh, what's the center going to do? Last time I looked at Creed Humphrey, his PFF was 90.4, and they don't give 90s at all. That's like you going home with a 100 on your test. That's how strict it is with PFF. So that's just one example. If you go by value, if you go by the positions and needs and all the veterans that they signed in, they basically gave them away or released them or trade them away for bags of balls and stock in the soda machine. It's ridiculous because now, hopefully, I hope that Caserio could get us higher. Cal just lets him run the show. And hopefully we actually get to business. But worst case scenario, if this is a legit rebuild year where you see what happens with Davis Mills. Now, some people might argue this, but I want to say Bryce Young potentially being there for not this draft coming up, the next draft, 2023. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that just depends on how the Watson drama unfolds. If things could be patched up, well, then we presume that he'll be the quarterback for the next 10 years or so. Otherwise, you know, I think I would need to see a little bit more out of Young. Because, I mean, we've seen with Alabama quarterbacks, you have Mac Jones, who I realize it's only his first year starting in the NFL. He got the job done. He had a good year. But he didn't – wasn't like a superstar or anything. But he got the job done.
Yes, exactly. You don't need to be a superstar. But the thing is, he took the – if you look at this team, right, similar to – you can almost look at the Patriots organization where it just goes, okay, we have a couple stars at tight end. We took two guys at wide receiver, but they weren't amazing, in my opinion. Essentially, you took the tools you had, and even though it wasn't flashy, they just got it done. Like, when you think of Hunter Henry, you just think of a guy who was could have been a top five tight end, but there's so much competition now, he falls out of it, possibly top 10. Is that top five? But that's
something
very arguable.
Like that. But I mean, you know, Jones was really the first Bama quarterback that really stood out, because Tua's been very up and down and an underperformer. You've had AJ McCarron, who just never really earned a starting job anywhere, and other guys in between there. I kind of forget. But I digress on that point. The thing about it is, those Bama quarterbacks, they're surrounded by so much talent at receiver. They've had Julio Jones, Jerry Jeudy, Ruggs, Jameson Williams this year. And, of course, we all know about the running backs. You had Trent Richardson, who was great in college. And, of course, you had Derrick Henry, who was a Heisman winner and has been great in the NFL. And so... so the whole thing with Young, obviously I get it that you can't judge a quarterback simply based on those who came before him, because all the Texas Tech quarterbacks that came before Mahomes weren't NFL starter material. But Mahomes obviously
has
turned out
well. Texas Tech in general, as far as the
school,
is not great.
Well, that's not really the point. I guess what I'm getting at was, with Bryce Young, I would need to see a little bit more before I'm just like, yeah, let's tank for this guy or whatever. Like, let's not try and look too far ahead. That's all I'm really saying with this.
And I
but
can agree with
so,
that.
Yeah, with McDaniels, I don't want him coming here because his stint with the Broncos was less than stellar. He flaked out on the Colts, which was just a bizarre story.
Not only that, but that was immoral. That was absolutely immoral for him to do. And to say he was at the flake gate, I would have suspended him for a year or something. The NFL basically let him stomp all over an organization, which was not right. It was absolutely terrible that the way he handled it, the way they did, the way the NFL didn't discipline him. They don't discipline any of the Patriots, if you know how it goes. I mean, it's just so light-handed. It's like, hey, are you doing the thing that you're supposed to do when we tell you not to do? Yeah, what about it? Give us a fourth-round pick and we'll shut up. Basically, give up your fourth-round pick and we let go. Bye-bye.
Well, I have my own opinions on NFL discipline, but I'm not going to get too far into that for this show. So, anyways... other than Flores and McDaniels, the two former Patriot assistants, who else out there might be on your radar? Of course, Eric Bieniemy was a guy that was thrown out there, a guy who was rumored the last head coaching cycle, Matt Eberflus, the Colts DC. However, the Colts defense regressed this year. People probably want to blame Carson Wentz for the Colts not making the playoffs, but Wentz actually played fairly well. He had 27 TDs to 7 picks. Granted, he only averaged a little over 200 passing yards a game, but when you've got Jonathan Taylor just running over everybody, why do you need to throw the ball all that much? But, I mean, 2020, the Colts had one of the top defenses in the NFL. They regressed to about the middle of the pack this year. That's why they weren't in the playoffs. Wentz wasn't the problem.
Okay, so also, PFF does have a head coach and GM tracker. It does say if they've interviewed the guy or if they've requested to interview somebody. For example, the Bears have interviewed Doug Peterson, will interview Brian Flores, and requested Dan Quinn, Matt Eberflus, Nathan Hackett, Brian Leftwich, Todd Bowles, Brian DeBall, and Leslie Frazier. Now, as far as the Bills' offensive and defensive coordinators, I mean, I've heard about BD a little bit, but not too much, and I kind of wondered why he didn't get the hire, especially over David Culley in the first place. I don't think he would go for it again. Brian Leftwich intrigues me, but I think he's going to ultimately end up going to the Jags personally. If not, see what Arians is doing and stay there. That's probably the best spot. It's definitely very comfortable as far as job security. Right. Dan Quinn, I mean, listen, if I'm Jerry World, listen, we slayer the Cowboys on this show, but if I'm Jerry World, I'm going to Dan Quinn. I'm licking the pen. I'm going to be like, hey, DQ, how you doing? How much you want on that check? Why? Because outside of Trayvon Diggs, this defense has been superb. And with Micah Parsons underneath Dan Quinn's system and him being one of the best defensive players this year, you cannot screw that up. You can't risk it. I don't want to change anything. It's like, dude, if you say that on game day you eat a certain meal, I don't want you to change anything simply because it works and it works fantastic. So if I'm Jerry World, I would not do that. And we have no benefit taking Dan Quinn, who flaked out of Atlanta after too long. And that was a deserved firing, as far as I'm concerned. Kellen Moore, as we said before, kind of no. I'm interested in what Eric Bieniemy has to say, because apparently he didn't get the interview, but I think that's an interesting one. As far as play calling goes, though, I mean, just remember, underneath the Andy Reid tree the last couple of years, Matt Nagy was calling Andy Reid's plays. He did not call Andy Reid's plays in Chicago.
Right.
So that's a thing to look out for. And I see some other Patriot guys on here. Jared Mayo, linebacker coach, to name a few. Texans, because it's been so new, haven't scheduled anything. Let's see. It says here GM Nick Caserio will look to hire a new head coach from a short list of candidates. Brian Flores, expatriate.
Yep.
Jared Mayo, just mentioned him. Yep. And yeah, that's a current Patriot. And Josh McDaniels, of course, current Patriot. So that is what gets scary. As far as who I would want, I mean, does Doug Peterson interest you?
Ooh. Well, I know that he was a much maligned hire when he came on in Philadelphia, but obviously he led them to the Super Bowl. But the way he left that team was a little concerning to me. However, I feel like you could certainly do worse, but he would not be at the top of my list.
Understood. Just to have you know, the Vikings have not interviewed anybody yet, but they have requested, as far as the GM goes, they have requested 8 people. As far as the head coach for the Dolphins and our Florida team, they have requested 6 in total.
Okay.
I'm trying to just look around, really, just see if there's anything eye-popping. There's a lot of going on with the GM search for the Giants. There's been 4 people interviewed so far. There's 5 more to be the interview that they requested. Hasn't been denied or what. Nothing going on with the Raiders. That's okay. That's also an interesting job as a whole too. But I think you need to be very prepared to reset culture, which this interim coach right now, you might as well see if you could give him a year as head coach and just have it ride, just see what he can do because they have their trust. Also, I found this very interesting. Jim Caldwell got interviewed for the Jags.
Okay.
I was very happy for JC to get the interview because I think he was a good coach. I think he left on good terms, except, well, you know how the ownership works over there in Detroit. It's a dumpster fire.
That's correct.
Very much. Any name that we've talked about the last couple of minutes that you just kind of say, hey, why not?
You know, you bring up Brian Daboll, and he was, I think, rumored to go to the Chargers last cycle, but obviously Brandon Staley ended up with that job. He has shown some dynamism with his play calling in Buffalo. Obviously, he's got some toys to play with Josh Allen being a very versatile quarterback. You've got Stephon Diggs in there who took Allen to another level. And then you got Dawson Knox in there. And then, of course, you got some various gadget guys like Gabriel Davis. They had John Brown for a little bit. So as far as just innovating an offense, like, I think Daboll is your guy, but I don't know that you would be a contender to make the playoffs in 2022 with Daboll. I would feel more secure with Flores if we wanted to contend immediately. However, if you look at it at the real long term, I think Daboll arguably could be a better option.
Although you gotta love the way that Flores
can scheme some defense, because Flores was the mastermind behind the Super Bowl 53, holding the offense that averaged over 32 points a game in the Rams to just 3. He made Jared Goff look like a wee little man in that game.
Yes, he did. And that was kind of also the turning point of Jared Goff's career, you can argue as well.
Right.
I mean, that was huge. We don't think about it, but heck, we remember Jared Goff looking foolish and being shut down, particularly with Cooper Kupp before we know him this year as the Beard Cooper Kupp.
Yes. So I guess if you really are asking me who my top choices are, it's one of the two Bryans.
Gotcha.
I'd probably give a slight edge to Flores right now, but
agreed.
I wouldn't turn my nose up at Daboll at all, but obviously it's going to be a little bit before he's worrying about that because he's trying to make a deep run with the Bills, but going to be a lot to see on that front because they're going to have a tough road to get to the Super Bowl. Got the Pats first, then you got to go to KC, and then probably Tennessee after that would be a tough road, but
problem being
you also don't know how much you also don't know how long Flores would have shelf. Like, if he wants to get into a new situation really quickly, you may not be able to have the time to interview Daboll for the job. But if he wants to come here, I'm just like, I'm fine. I'm all in. If you want this job and it all works out and we don't interview Daboll, totally fine with me. The biggest question I would have is if we were to hire Flores, are we going to let Flores run the team his way? I'm confident if he gets the ability to run the team his way, he can be successful. However, this front office, they seem like the type that's going to try and get in the way. I don't like that. And I wonder if Flores knows this going in and he's like, he might be a little apprehensive, but of course you look at all these various front offices that are interviewing for coaches right now. They all kind of seem to be that way.
It seems to be that way at first, but just remember the Bears are just saying then the GM or the owner never kind of has never been reported that it's just like, hey, what's going on at the quarterback change? Like me, I'm like, I'm sorry. how many quarterbacks did you have there with X amount of years? It's like, did you forget Nick Foles existed and he was the starting quarterback until he got hurt and then you scrounged and were digging for answers? You know, like the fact that Andy Dalton was going to be here. He's our starting quarterback. It's like, you owe him nothing. He's here for 1 year. You owe him nothing.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? It's like, did you even give a chance about Nick Foles, or are you just waiting for the contract to run out? Like, what? I just don't get that. The problem is, you got to let Brian Flores be Brian Flores, and especially since the guys love him, which if the Raiders wanted to interview him outside of the interim coach they have right now, very scary. Broncos, very scary considering the weapons yes. those teams have. The Vikings, very scary considering they're in win now mode. So the problem is, if you're in a team where you need a complete overhaul, a culture change, a new plan, a new identity, such as the Bears, such as the Giants, such as the Texans, I think, as in the words of Shark Tank, I'm out. That's where it just doesn't seem attractive. And you're just like, my job security isn't here. My winning isn't here. And there's better opportunity elsewhere. So that's why I thought about constant backup plans. And that's why I thought about Bieniemy, because there's a desperation of why he hasn't been hired, Caldwell, just simply because he seemed to, I think he's probably studied the game over the time and he was not a losing head coach by any means. And then as far as Dable, well, if he runs the offense, the one thing that I think this team needs is spreading the ball, because this team the last 2 years hasn't really spread the ball, particularly to the tight end spot.
For sure.
Just help David Mills develop as a quarterback, help the run game a little bit. Again, need some offensive line help. But if you're going to be able to spread the ball and be, you know, less predictable, you'll get that running game that the front office is talking about. You'll get those consistencies, and you won't have Davis Mills being like, he threw for less than 150 yards every other game, or sometimes a couple games in a row. Because, again, that one game against the Chargers, you said he's a top five Texans quarterback, when you look at his stats for the year per game, and it's just like, this is mediocre at best.
Right. When you say top five Texans quarterback, like,
there's,
and just our franchise history, I'm not sure that was ever mentioned. You mentioned, I think it was suggested, top rookie quarterback, which
no, some of those fans, I mean, after, some of the Texans fans, from what I read much. After the Charger game, were saying Davis Mills is a top five, and I'm like, so hold on. Obviously, you have Deshaun, that's number one, right?
Well, I'd say Schaub is number one in the team history.
Okay, Watson, so you got Schaub, you could
probably
got
say that Watson's probably number two. Then after that, well, gee, this is going to take a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Even with the slim pickings, you're going to say, whoa, Davis Mills has one good game, and you're going to put him top five with the slim pickings? I'm sorry. What happened to doesn't Tom Savage have to take number five? And then number three will probably just find some sort of picking. But the fact that it was just like, you're gassing him up, and for what? And what happened the next game? He laid an egg.
Yeah.
Laid a freaking egg.
I mean, he showed some promise, and you certainly can't throw all of it on him. He made some good throws. He seems like a smart quarterback. He obviously doesn't have all the physical tools that a top five selection would. Of course, we all know that. I mean, I still think he can be a solid starter in this league, but that's just kind of it. This coaching staff is going to be, you know, what are we going to do with our quarterback situation? Are we going to try and mend the fences with Deshaun? Are we planning to ship him out? And we're going to start Mills and potentially give him a chance to be the guy, and if not, we draft somebody else. I mean, I think Flores is probably the only guy who would be able to mend the fences with Watson at this point. And anybody else, it's just going to be, we're playing for next year. But yeah, We get Flores. We get Watson back. 2022 becomes interesting. Now, really Lovie Smith has not gotten the axe yet. And there were some speculating they would try and promote him to head coach. And I'm just like, please, no. Don't do it. Just
Listen, do I think that he needs more talent on the defense? Absolutely.
Yes. Let's just keep him there. I'm fine with him there. Rush. Yes. Get someone to compliment Grenard.
Yes. I was about to say the same thing. Now, mind you, it's definitely right now, it's definitely comfortable. Next year, you could evaluate if you please, but let's not get crazy with Lovie Smith. Let's instead of having three major roles to fill, let's just keep it at two. Does that sound fair? I'm with you on that. Keep Lovie where he is. There's a lot of guys that like him. So let's see if we could find him some pass rush, find an offensive line, and there might be an X factor piece late in the round. So, I mean, we got plenty of late round picks. Let's see if there's a special project in the late rounds. Just one. I'm tired of these guys that are going like, oh, he's a quote-unquote project. You know, I don't like it when the team is in absolute disarray and guys say project in any sport. It's like, okay, what do you mean by project? As in like, hey, is it a footwork issue? Is it a mental issue? Is it a mechanical issue? Is it a, you know, a sport IQ issue? Like, what is it with this quote-unquote project? If you want to take one of them in the late rounds, fine. With every single thing, no. Or half of them, no. But, I mean, I'm okay with Lovie for now. Offensive coordinator, I think that'll be another interesting take. I have no idea who's going to get it, but we know who we want for head coach. But as far as anyone that's really doing the interviewing, I mean, if let's just say Doug Peterson doesn't get a head coach job, would you be okay having him as offensive coordinator if you had to take a consolation prize?
Sure, I guess.
I mean, just trying to fill the void here. Because you're not going to have a coordinator leave his comfortable job for another coordinator job. It's just going to be less job security.
Correct.
That's just the way that kind of goes. So it's head coach, and I think it's going to be a consolation for a guy who didn't get a head coach job to be the offensive coordinator. I mean, this is – I'm kind of nervous. I really am. I really am nervous.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of moving parts right now. Buckle up, see how next couple of these interviews, and then we'll just have to evaluate from there.
Yes.
The only other upside is if we don't get Flores and we presumably ship Watson out, we could definitely get some more picks in return. And that would be appealing to any new coach if you got three first-round picks over the next two drafts or something like that. I was also thinking today about the Giants have two picks in the top 10. I don't know if they would go after Russell Wilson or Watson if one of those guys would presumably be available for trade. Now, people talked about Wilson having a down year for Seattle, but I think he had 26 TD passes to 5 interceptions. Sure, his yardage was way. He did miss a couple of games. But you got to think Wilson has at least 5 years left, probably. I mean,
Wilson's got 2 years left.
He could still be really good for
him.
Right, but I'm talking about just in the league. I think he's got a handful.
True.
I mean, a lot of teams have been rumored to go after Russell Wilson.
I think it's going to be possibly a head coach change, but I think he probably would have announced it by now. It seems like a more of a keeper moving type of thing.
Yeah.
Just my two cents with that.
So yeah, it would have been really interesting though if we had engineered a trade to send Watson to the Giants and we have three picks in the top 10 this year. Man can dream. Not gonna happen.
Yes, we can dream.
I highly doubt it would. I feel like the Giants are also they don't seem like the type of organization to go after a guy who could be a potential bad boy from a PR perspective like Watson could be. They'd probably go for the more straight-laced Wilson.
True, true.
But I digress.
Yep.
So anyways,
So,
I guess if Watson is out, we'll probably get a first this year, a first next year, maybe a second or two, and maybe another player in return.
his lawsuits start next month. I mean, the court hearings for the lawsuits that's being handled by one lawyer that I believe it's one attorney. So those court cases are finally starting next month. We agreed that we're just gonna let the justice system doing its thing, and we're not gonna be clickbait on the news for it, because it just kind of
Right.
seems immoral of making a story out of all these women and one guy who's being accused of immoral act. There's so much stuff in the off season as far as dead cap, as far as the salary cap, as far as free agency and everything else. But essentially, we went over the head coach hire, who should be, well, at least who's our picks. So, I mean, I got Brian Flores as my number one pick. I don't think it's going to happen. And my second pick would be Dable. My third choice would be Eric Bieniemy, and offensive coordinator. The next guy in line who doesn't get that job, which I'm thinking it's going to be Doug Peterson. Your final thoughts, Tex?
I think we just about covered it. All seems fair to me.
All right. So, you want to take us out?
Absolutely. So, with all the Texans news this offseason, follow us on Twitter at Texans Talk Pod. And for AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.